Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, friends. It's Drew Blood, the voice behind Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast and proud member of the Chillin' Entertainment family. Today, I come to you with a story that isn't just about chills and thrills. It's about the very real challenges we're facing. Before we dive in, let me express my deepest gratitude to you, our loyal community. For more than 10 years, your support has been the driving force behind Chillin' Entertainment, allowing us to bring you the eerie tales and spine-tingling moments you love. But now we find ourselves at a pivotal moment, and we're asking for your help. Our founder, Craig Groshek, has been through an incredibly tough period over the last few years. Alongside these personal struggles, the entire horror entertainment industry has been hit hard by financial pressures, and Chillin' Entertainment is no exception. Despite all this, Craig's commitment to Chillin' Entertainment, our brilliant writers, talented voice actors, skilled sound designers, and the entire team behind the scenes remains unshaken. However, we're at a point where we need your support to ensure that Chillin' Entertainment not only survives but continues to flourish. We've set up a GoFundMe campaign with the goal of raising $10,000. While this is just a portion of what's truly needed to fully overcome our challenges, it's a crucial step toward addressing our most pressing needs, such as paying off debts and ensuring our team members are compensated fairly. Here's how your contribution can help. Addressing immediate financial obligations. Ensuring that our dedicated team receives the payments they deserve, despite the unexpected financial hurdles we've encountered. Investing in essential upgrades. Acquiring new equipment and software to keep delivering top-tier content you've come to expect. Reviving exciting projects. Bringing to life projects that have been on hold due to budget limitations, allowing us to continue creating and innovating. Attracting and retaining talent. Keeping the best creators, writers, and voice actors in the industry working on the stories you love. And building a new app. Developing a more user-friendly platform to enhance your experience with our content. Without your support, we may be forced to make difficult decisions, cutting back on pay, losing valuable talent, and possibly reducing the quality and frequency of the content you enjoy. Some of our most cherished shows could even face temporary or permanent closure. You can help even more by spreading the word. Share our campaign on social media. Tell your friends and fellow horror fans about us, and help us reach more people who share our passion for the macabre. Every dollar, every share, brings us one step closer to securing the future of Chillin' Entertainment. Together, we can make sure that Chillin' Entertainment continues to be your go-to source for the most haunting stories and unforgettable scares. Please consider donating today. Your support is invaluable. And with your help, we'll keep the darkness alive for many more years to come. To make finding our GoFundMe easier, we've set up a shortened URL. To donate today, visit helpchillin.org. That's help, H-E-L-P, chillin, chillin.org, to help us today. Thank you again for your support. Welcome, friend. Hey, I know you've already been here for like 5 minutes, but now that you've generously donated to keep our sorry asses on the air, it's only right that you get the proper welcome. Hell, Chester appreciates it too. Just think of us like old school NPR or something, only instead of sending you a tote bag for your kindness, we send you good vibes and good times. Hey, it's the best we can do at this point. Come on in, friend. All right. We've got two tales tonight by author Michael Marks, by way of our pals at Velox Books, official publisher of the No Sleep Stars. These are from Michael's collection Spiral and Down, available in Kindle, print, and very soon in audio. So, without further delay, from Michael Marks, I give you Madness Above the Clouds. The plane shook and dipped slightly, my fingers gripping the armrest so hard I could feel my nails digging into the fake leather. A soft ding sound filled the cabin as the seatbelt lights came on overhead. I hadn't taken mine off since we boarded, light or no light.
"Nervous flyer, eh?"
said the man next to me, a portly gentleman with thinning gray hair and a disheveled business suit.
"How can you tell?"
I asked him sarcastically with a timid smile.
"Well, you're sweating bullets, white as a ghost, and gripping that armrest like someone's going to try and rip you off of it."
"Yeah, I'm not great at the whole flying thing." He clapped me on the shoulder. I wasn't okay with strangers invading my personal space, but let it go. I had to spend another 4 hours next to this man after all.
"You're not alone, my friend."
He laughed and held up his hand, exposing his fingernails. They had been chewed to nubs.
"My nervous habit is chewing my nails. Every flight, I wear them down to nothing."
I smiled and nodded, doing my best to look friendly. I honestly couldn't give a shit about this guy's nervous habits, especially not while the plane was still bouncing up and down. I heard something shift in the compartment above me and returned my gaze to the portly nail-biter. He was still smiling all friendly-like as if he were waiting for a response.
"Tom,"
I said, finally letting go of the armrest and watching my knuckles turn from white to a softer pink as I reached my hand out to the man. He reciprocated the gesture and wrapped his pudgy, clammy hand around mine, giving it a hearty shake.
"Jerry,"
he said jovially.
"What are the odds, eh?"
I raised an eyebrow, confused for a moment. Then I realized what he meant and let out a genuine chuckle. "Yeah, that's pretty funny." I meant it, but it still sounded disingenuous. I returned my gaze to the window on my right. I pondered for a second why I always chose the window seat on planes when I was terrified to my core of flying. I always regretted it. Still, the shade stayed up the whole flight. I looked out into the darkness, nothing surrounding us but clouds and shades of gray. The shaking finally stopped, and I did my best to let my body relax.
"So, why are you heading to London?"
Jerry chimed in again, thinking he had made an in-flight friend. I turned my head back in his direction and looked down the aisle. The flight attendant was still rows and rows away from me. I needed a drink bad.
"Job interview," I said. "I've always wanted to move overseas and..."
The plane shook again, hard this time. I watched the flight attendant lose her foot in a bit and nearly knock her drink cart into one of the passengers. The lights were dimmed in the plane's cabin, and I could swear I saw a flash of green light as the plane shook. I turned my head to look out the window again and saw nothing.
"Just a bit of chop,"
I heard Jerry say next to me. I wasn't sure if he was reassuring me or himself. Suddenly, the intercom crackled to life.
"Hi, folks, this is your captain speaking. We've hit some heavy turbulence here, so we'd like to ask everyone to stay in their seats with their seatbelts fastened, and we'll try to break through this as quick as we can for you."
My hands returned to the armrests, and I watched Jerry sink his teeth into his thumbnail. The intercom light came on again.
"All flight attendants to their seats, please."
I watched as the flight attendants did their best to calmly walk to their seats in the forward and back sections of the cabin and buckle up. None of them looked nervous, though, so I did my best to try not to panic.
The plane continued to shake. The dim overhead lights briefly flickered as the plane took a dip that made my heart fly up into my throat.
"Just a little chop,"
I heard Jerry repeat, now convinced that he was certainly talking to himself. I thought to myself how much I would have preferred not to have a fellow flying phobic person sitting next to me in that moment. I moved my attention from him back to the window. Neither was a good option, but I really couldn't watch Jerry freak out right now.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
As I stared out into the dim moonlit sky, I saw something. Only a brief glimpse, but whatever it was massive and drenched in shadow. I caught only the tail end of it before it dipped below the clouds and out of my sight. I pressed my face up against the window, hoping I could catch it again, but it was gone. Suddenly, the plane rocked again. It was even harder this time. The cabin lights went off for a full 5 seconds as the plane shook more violently than it had yet. I heard a woman scream, a baby cry. A flight attendant called out, asking everyone to remain calm. I was not calm at all. My heart thumped a mile a minute. A green light filled the darkened cabin just like the flash from before. This time it lasted longer though. Maybe 10 seconds before it was replaced again by the normal white glow of the cabin lights. The rocking stopped, and the motion of the plane began to calm. The intercom came to life again.
All right, folks, it looks like we're through the worst of it. At this time, I would like to ask everyone to stay in their seats and to keep their seat belts fastened, though. Flight attendants will come by and check on everyone and take your drink orders in just a few moments.
I heard Jerry let out a huge wheeze next to me. Perhaps it was supposed to be a sigh of relief, but I couldn't really tell.
Ah, crap!
Jerry said, getting my attention finally. He was sucking on his thumb like he was trying to save the last few precious drops of barbecue sauce from a particularly good rack of ribs.
What?
I asked with a curious tone over a concerned one.
I bit my finger. I guess I chewed too far down. Drew blood.
I thanked whatever god existed for keeping him from taking the thumb from his mouth and showing me. That was not a sight I wanted to see. I turned my head back toward the window. The air outside had taken on a green tint. Something barely noticeable, but if you looked hard enough, it was there.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful about that. I said to Jerry via the window. The massive black shape had returned. I could see it just below the surface of the clouds. Not visible enough to tell what it was. My mind tried to reconcile it with something I understood. A blimp? Not this fucking high. At least I didn't think so. Whatever it was bigger than the 747 by a long shot, and flying just below us.
What are you staring at?
I heard Jerry ask from behind me. I'm not sure. My voice was quiet and trailed off at the end of my sentence. I turned away from the window and back at Jerry, who was looking at me with wild, panicked eyes.
You're not sure?
His voice went a couple octaves higher on the word sure.
What do you mean you're not sure?
There's something. I trailed off as I stared back out the window, looking for a sign of the shadow. It appeared to have dipped back below the clouds again.
Never mind. It's probably just my eyes playing tricks on me.
Nerves,
he said again, putting his bleeding thumbnail back into his mouth.
Just a bad case of the...
A scream broke the quiet of the cabin and cut off Jerry at the end of his thought. Without removing my seatbelt, I strained upward to try and catch sight of what was happening. Jerry did the same, and I could see just about every passenger in my row trying to catch a glimpse of what was going on. I heard thrashing around 5 or 6 aisles ahead of me and then saw a man spill out into the aisle, gripping a blonde girl by the hair. He was screaming at her, but I couldn't make out the words. Several other men got up and tried to restrain him. He fought hard against them, too. I saw one take an elbow to the face, another a kick to the knee. I nearly removed my seatbelt, but before I had the chance, the plane rocked again hard. All the people standing in the aisle lost their footing and fell, slamming into the seats. I could hear the flight attendants calling the captain and telling everyone to return to their seats and put their seatbelts back on. The plane continued shaking, and I heard someone behind me let out another scream. I attempted to crane my neck backwards, but on my way caught sight of Jerry. He had resumed the campaign to rid himself of the skin on his thumb. He seemingly didn't care any longer, and blood streaked his lips and stained his teeth.
Just a bad case of the nerves.
I dropped back into my seat, listening to commotion break out in front of me and behind me. I heard screaming, mumbling. A baby started crying somewhere. The plane continued to dip and shake, and despite my curiosity as to what may be happening around me, fear rooted me to my seat. The lights flickered off again, leaving the plane dark for what felt like forever. The intercom fired up again, and the familiar voice of the captain filled the air, clearly audible despite the panicked loud voices all around me.
Attention, folks. It looks like things are getting worse up here. I would like to ask everyone to remain in their seats and keep their seat belts on to avoid any accidents. I would also ask that someone please, for the love of God, shut that fucking baby up.
The last part, he said it like he would make any other announcement, calm and collected. I felt my chest tighten when I heard it. Something was very, very wrong. Jerry's mouth was caked in his blood now, most of the tip of his thumb mangled by his own teeth. He kept repeating the same phrase.
Just a bad case of the nerves.
The blonde girl rushed past me down the aisle and towards the bathroom. She was crying her eyes out. One of the flight attendants attempted to stop her, but she flew past and locked the door behind her. It seemed as if the other brawlers had returned to their seats, the instigator violently thrashing against his seatbelt. I was unsure if someone else had strapped them in or not. I hadn't been looking. The cabin lights were flickering on now rather than off. It seemed the cabin was filled with darkness. People would occasionally shout across the aisles to other people or at the flight attendants. Nasty slurs that seemed to come out of nowhere.
Motherfucker!
You stupid bitch, I'll fucking kill you!
Shut up the goddamn baby already!
I should toss you out the emergency exit, you sodden cunt!
Motherfucker, I'll fucking kill you!
Other people just mumbled to themselves, repeating mantras like poor Jerry, his formerly friendly disposition replaced by a blank stare, fixated on the seat in front of him. The plane continued its dance in the sky, shaking like a whore in church. I stared out the window again. The shadows were back, more brazen about their trips above the clouds. There were 3 I could see, but still not make out clearly in the darkness. I strained my eyes, staring at them. They seemed to be writhing shapes of darkness, unable to be touched by the moonlight. And I could have sworn that I saw wings. They dipped below the clouds again and out of my sight. I kept my face pressed against the glass. I was unsure if the actions of my fellow passengers were more or less unsettling than the idea that we were not alone in the sky. When I did finally return my attention to what was going on around me, convinced that the shadows were gone, I noticed the flight attendants had given up their meager attempts to control the passengers or keep them calm. I could only see one from where I was sitting, and she was sitting in one of the empty seats across the aisle from me. She was mumbling to herself in some nonsense language. Hearing it made my blood run cold. People were losing their minds, and the whole plane was going insane. The intercom again. The sound of it crackling to life made me feel sick and filled me with terror.
Attention passengers, we are not going to be okay. We are not going to make it. So fragile we are. Nothing in the face of the gods.
The captain's words were unsettling enough, but the way he sounded, his voice was too low, like he was winding down, a dying watch.
You may as well just give up. Just tear each other apart for all I care. Just tear. Just eat each other.
His voice, robotic, droning and hopeless. As the intercom clicked off, the panic and insanity that erupted around me was nothing short of chaos. It was as if this was all lying just beneath the surface of most of the passengers, and they were just awaiting the go-ahead to start brutalizing each other. The screams still ring in my ears. It was the sound of death reaping dozens of people at once. I shrank in my seat, hiding behind Jerry as best as I could. He still sat blankly staring at the seat back in front of him, repeating those same words with blood dripping down his chin, the bone at the tip of his thumb exposed.
Just a bad case of the nerves.
In the distance, the screaming baby was finally silenced. An eruption of laughter came forth like a wave, followed by more screams. I heard more muttering and gibberish, like some alien language I could barely recognize as speech, followed by more screams of terror. I saw a few people like me, some trying to run for the restrooms to lock themselves in, others shrinking in their seats to avoid the madness. I watched as the flight attendant across from me was tackled in the aisle right next to me. She reached out her hand, her eyes begging me for help as she was pinned down by an aging Japanese businessman. He sunk nicotine-stained teeth into her throat, cutting off her screams, and tore loose as much flesh as he could fit in his mouth. They were literally eating each other. Another flash of green filled the cabin. The plane struck turbulence again. Some people screamed in absolute terror. Others cheered. I wasn't sure in that moment if the insane were praying that this plane go down into the ocean, or the sane were. I looked away, back out the window. That window. I wish I hadn't. I wish I had just shut my eyes. Hell, I wish I had run out into the aisles and let the lunatics tear me apart. Instead, I decided to one more time look out that damned window. I saw the things again, this time not dipping below the clouds or disappearing from my sight. They were right next to the plane, keeping pace. The sounds around me seemed to vanish as I looked at the horrid things fly alongside us. Writhing masses of tentacles with wings, something that no logical mind could accept as real. Their shadow appendages reached out toward the damned airplane. The tentacles seemed to part on the one closest to me, opening like into a great eye. It had three irises, three pupils, two on top and one on bottom. It glowed a maddening, sickly green color. Looking at it made my head hurt and filled me with a dread that was not even matched by the things going on around me. Another flash of green filled the cabin. Then a horrid sound, like the roaring of some ancient demon, sent forth to drag us all to hell. The plane continued to take a beating from the turbulence. The oxygen masks dropped, the lights continued to flicker, and baggage flew out of the compartments. I watched a red-haired man, his face covered in gore, flesh hanging from his teeth, take a large carry-on to his face. I heard his neck snap even in the chaos, or at least I thought I heard it. The plane dipped, sending bodies living and dead sprawling down the aisles. The drink carts slammed into whatever corpse blocked their way, sending small bottles flying everywhere. Amid the chaos, Jerry unbuckled his seatbelt and looked at me one last time.
Just a bad case of the nerves.
He stood and walked into the madness. I saw someone leap over the seat in the dark as he stepped into the aisle and drag him away into the maelstrom of violence. The plane seemed to be falling out of the sky. As it jostled me around, my face ended up once again pressed against the window. I heard the screams, laughter, and insane ramblings continue behind me as I stared out into the void, like the eye of the creature that kept pace with the plane. The darkened cabin filled with a dim glow again. Quick green flashes lit up the night sky, briefly illuminating the writhing shadow creature that flew next to us. Filling my eyes with horrors that I either can't or won't recall. A sound like screeching metal reverberated in my ears, and then a screech of something terribly inhuman. I watched the thing suddenly break away from us and dip back down below the clouds, their tentacles flailing about as they vanished into the dark mist below us. The sound grew louder and louder, culminating in something that I thought at first was one of the engines exploding. I readied myself for the plane to just start plummeting out of the sky, or a giant hole open in the side and start engulfing seats in a wave of fire. Instead, the insanity that had filled the cabin for what felt like hours ended even more abruptly than it had arrived. The gibbering mad speaking, the screams of pure lunacy, the laughter of people going mad, all gone. Replacing them were calls for help, screams of terror, and people sobbing uncontrollably. Even the plane itself seemed to be loosed from the grip of whatever had taken hold of us. Starting to right itself, the cabin still shook, but no more than you would expect from normal turbulence. I heard the intercom come to life once more. This time I could barely make out what was being said of the sounds of the other passengers screaming for help or out in pain. It wasn't the voice of the captain anymore, though, and I shuddered to think of what happened to him. I guess the co-pilot had taken over the flight. He talked about us getting on the ground as soon as possible. He talked about tending to the wounded. He asked the flight attendants to sound off so he could know how much of his crew was alive or uninjured. I was frozen, catatonic. Once we finally landed in London, even as the plane filled with medics in hazmat suits, doctors, and cops, I sat there, incapable of moving from my seat. My seatbelt still firmly fastened, as if it were the only thing keeping me from plummeting in the madness. When I was finally pulled from my seat, I screamed. It was all I could do. Just scream and scream and scream until I blacked out. I was questioned multiple times, always telling the same story and always being told the same thing in response. Doctors, FBI, Interpol, all of them regurgitating the same bullshit. They said it had been a terrorist attack, that hallucinogenic drugs had been pumped into the plane cabin. that in order to keep the world from going into a panic about chemical attacks, they needed to keep this quiet. My duty as a patriot, my duty as a citizen of the world. I was enticed with money and threatened with violence or imprisonment. I knew it was bullshit. I've done my share of drugs. I know what it's like to hallucinate, even unknowingly. People don't fucking eat each other. They don't murder each other. At least not in droves. From what I heard, the captain tore his fucking eyes out. Then there was the way it ended so abrupt. If the bullshit line they were feeding me was true, it wouldn't have ended like that. That plane would have crashed. It would have ended up in the ocean, all passengers lost. They kept it quiet until now, though. Honestly, I just don't care anymore. I don't care about the payoffs or my duty as a patriot. I just want the nightmares to end. I don't want to hear the screams anymore. I want to sleep. Dear God, I want to sleep so badly. First, I need to tell you, though. I need people to know. There is something out there. Something above the clouds. I don't know what it is. My brain can hardly handle the memory of it even. And my words do no justice to the horror I witnessed. Before I leave this world, though, leave it at the end of a rope. I need to warn others. Watch the skies. And if you are flying, I wish you the best of luck.
Heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And that was Madness Above the Clouds by author Michael Marx. A good reminder that sometimes just making the drive is worth it. Our next one's also from his book Spiraling Down, and this one's called They Walk Slowly, But They Never Stop. Thinning hair atop a head adorned with liver spots. Sagging wrinkled skin causing his face to drop like wax slowly dripping from the top of a candle. His business suit, tweed, disheveled and looking like something rejected by the 70s and transported through time. His tie hanging loose, it mimics the noose he wishes was around his neck. Momentarily slack before he leaps from that chair and into the great beyond. The soles of his shoes worn each step through the streets, bringing them closer to opening and allowing in the filth beneath his feet. Filth. It's sadly been a common theme in his life. He stinks of stale cigarette smoke and cheap whiskey. He is a man who continues to exist through the numbing effects of alcohol. A drunk, a worthless waste of skin, bones, meat, and blood. Not someone anyone would ever miss. If he has a wife, she's prefixed by X. If he has children, they do not speak to him.
The possibility of friends is unlikely as well. There may be a few pathetic, sad drunks who grumble with them at the back of some dive on occasion, but no one that would ever look for him. He is perfect. It can take time to find exactly what I need. Discretion is beyond necessary in these situations, though, and it's worthwhile to take your time and be picky. I sit a few seats behind him on the train, breathing in his loneliness as if it may sustain me. All the others on the train stare down at their phones in a trance, texting, searching the internet, watching something to amuse themselves, blissfully unaware of anything and everything around them. Not him, though. He stares blankly out the window. I can see his vacant eyes reflected in the shaken plastic. He's aware. Oh, yes, he is very aware. Aware of every ounce of pain and suffering he's endured. I think to some degree he's aware of me, the looming specter hanging just over his shoulder, awaiting the moment to bring the cold chill of death down upon him, like the headsman with his axe raised, waiting for that perfect moment to bring it crashing down. I am no headsman, though. I am a creator of kings and servant of gods. I watch him out of the corner of my eye as the conductor announces his stop coming up next. He breaks his gaze from the world that was speeding by him and crawls from his seat with an aching groan. I almost pity him in this moment. Such a sad and pathetic waste of life he is. Nothing worth saving by any stretch of the imagination. Still, I find myself curious where he is going, what he intends to do when he gets there. What possibly could such a pointless creature as him be planning for this evening? Nighttime TV and a bottle of Jim Beam is the most likely thing, but I have been wrong before. That fucking woman. She ended up on the news the day after she vanished. Flyers, posters, the whole goddamn works was brought out to find her. My instincts were dead on. She was a loner, a pathetic nothing sleepwalking through a life without meaning. Her sister, on the other hand, she was some big shot member of the city council. An upstanding citizen of the community who wouldn't rest until her sister was found. Of course, she found nothing. Despite my choice of victims, I'm still exceedingly careful. Still, that one stuck with me long after. How could I have not picked up on a sibling, one who would search? That time they had found nothing. But what if this time was different? What if this time they discovered where the people were disappearing to and who was involved? It would most assuredly be the end of me, and even worse, the end of everything else. No, I tell myself, I'm being silly. My instincts have always correctly guided me. One hiccup in a system doesn't mean you throw it away and start all over. You correct and retry. The man looks back at me as if to say hello. Something about me caught his attention. I wonder to myself if I spoke out loud, and he heard me. I turn to look at the person who was sitting directly across from me. They are absorbed in the glowing screen of their phone, unaware of anything but their primary focus. No, I didn't speak aloud. He just senses it. Our connection, that we both have a very special role to play in this world. Savior and victim, king and slave, we are both set upon a path that simultaneously leads towards both absolution and destruction. The train slows to a stop with the audible ding and robotic announcement of its arrival.
The doors open. The man steps off with me only a few steps behind him. He once again seems blissfully unaware of my presence. This is good. He turns the corner from the station and heads down a flight of stairs leading toward a parking lot. Slow, uneasy steps recall memories for me that I'd rather forget. I'm good at my task, though, and I keep pace with him. Not too close, though, as I would rather not arouse suspicion. Other people around us begin to thin out. The crowds from the commuter trains disperse into their cars. Eventually, it's simply me and him, as if it was meant to be. He turns down a row of cars and starts heading towards a filthy brown station wagon. Wood paneling, cracked windshield. And while I can't tell from where I am, I would guess at least one broken light somewhere on the damned thing. It's just as I thought. This man serves no purpose in this world. It's reflected in everything from the gait of his walk, his car, but especially his dull, lifeless eyes. I am closer behind now, pretending to make my way towards a car further down the line. Just happenstance, as far as he can tell. Just another traveler headed for home. As I grip the blackjack in my pocket tightly, my knuckles undoubtedly turning white as I squeezed it tightly with anticipation, the hunt is nearing its end. I hear him remove his car keys from his pocket and sharply turn towards him. I nearly break into a sprint as I remove the blackjack and raise it to strike. I see the look in his eyes, the brief flash of terror in the mere moment between when he realizes what is happening and how little time he has to react. I feel the weighted club strike his temple, the vibrations making their way down my arm. The man collapses, striking the other side of his head on his car. No time to scream, no time to react. I collect his keys from the ground and open the back door of his car. I pick him up off the ground, a small wound on the side of his head leaking blood onto my jacket. I lament this fact as I will now have to burn this jacket. And I liked it, too. I shove him into the back seat of his car and then enter the driver's seat myself. I take only a moment to calm my nerves, a deep breath before the next part. I catch my reflection in the rearview mirror. I look tired, a man in desperate need of sleep, a man on the edge. I shake these thoughts from my head and start up his car. A smile brushes across my face at the fact that this shitbox even runs. I head towards our eventual destination slowly, and the man never wakes. They never do. When the man wakes up, he realizes he's at the opening of a small tunnel dug 15 feet into the ground. There is a roof high above his head, as we are in an old manufacturing plant. I'm unaware as to what they used to manufacture here, as by the time this place found me, it was long abandoned. He also sees me sitting above him, my legs dangling over the edge as I stared down at him. His hands have been bound, as have his legs, and he is seated in what would seem to him like a throne made of marble, and he is honestly not far off. Tonight, he becomes an unsung king for mankind.
What's going on?
He asks, his voice meek and raspy. A man waking from one dream and slipping into another. He struggles against his bonds for a moment, then stares up at me, his eyes pleading. I'm glad you'll be awake for this, I say. My face lit up with delight. I always hate when they sleep through it. It's better to witness the glory, I say.
What the fuck are you talking about? Let me out of here right now! Do you hear me?
I watch him shake and struggle, scream and plead. It's already over, though. I can see the light building at the entrance of the tunnel. "Look forward," I tell him, and point to the opening directly in front of him. I watch his head slowly turn, his eyes widening and his screams freezing in his throat. He is witnessing the glory and the majesty for the first time, and I envy him.
"What? What are those things?"
he asks, as if any human tongue could speak their names or describe their visage. "We need you, all of humanity. They require a sacrifice to be appeased, and I chose you. We thank you for what you're doing." I feel the tears stream down my face, and my smile widens across it. It's beautiful to me every time, something of true greatness.
"Why are they moving like that? What are they? What are they going to do to me?"
The time for answering questions is over as I simply watch the rest of the events unfold. The light at the entrance to the tunnel grows even brighter, a pale blue, like a post-dawn sky. The man's screams are like a chorus. He continues to shout questions to me even as tendrils of light stretch out from the mouth of the cave and wrap around him. People have said before that it burns to be touched by them. They've screamed it. This man goes silent, though. Silent as the grave. His lips tighten as he is dragged from the marble throne and towards the light. He stares up at me with pleading eyes. Before he disappears into the light, I mouth my final words to him. "Thank you." I fall asleep on the earth and ground around the open into the sounds of screams echoing in my ears. When I wake the next morning, I find exactly what I expect to find. A skull. Strange markings burned into the bone. It means I've satiated them and they are pleased. I take the skull and bury it with the others behind the building, as I was instructed to do the first time this place found me. I've lost count of how many are out here. I've lost track of how long I've been charged with this task. As I walk from the building, I spy the inscription left by whoever came before me, or possibly even before him. It's carved into a piece of wood that hangs above the large doors that used to be used for shipping and receiving. "Keep them here and keep them fed, lest the world burn in their radiance and glory." They walk slowly, but never stop. I leave, those words fresh in my mind. The cycle begins again, and I need to seek a new king for the throne. For now, though, I go home to my family, my wife and daughter, safe for another few months, alive to see a new dawn. I gave him purpose. He saved the world. That was They Walk Slowly But They Never Stop by tonight's author, Michael Marks. Michael's collection, Spiraling Down, is available now from our friends at Velox Books. Check out the link in the show notes or just head to www.veloxbooks.com where you can find Michael and plenty of other excellent authors you've heard on this show. If you're more of a listener, you can expect Spiraling Down in audio on audible.com in a week or two.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle. and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, friend, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road. Until we get the Drew Blood tote bags going, it's about all I can offer you. So may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. For lack of an Irish proverb tonight, remember, pants first, then shoes. See y'all next week, chillin' willin'. Until then, friends, go fuck yourselves. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm truly sorry. But you know I love you.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.